City Sussex County Council meeting of December the 5th, 2017. First thing, Mr. Lawson, approval of the agenda.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, members of council. I do have one suggested amendment today. We do not have an item to talk about under pending and potential litigation, so we can strike executive session and possible action on executive session items.
And motion to approve the agenda is amended. Motion, Mr. Wilson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Arlett. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. We had the minutes of November 28th. Any corrections or questions? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. We have three letters thanking council for grants. The first one is for Read Aloud Delaware for the volunteer reading program. The second is Nanticoke River and Arts Council. And the last is the Nanticoke Senior Center. That is all, Mr. President.
Any correspondence from council? Correspondence from council. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you. Today we're joined by DLDOT Secretary Jennifer Cohen and staff. Ms. Cohen is here to make a presentation and give us an update on the Route 113 corridor improvement plan. Mrs. Cohen, please come forward. I believe you have some handouts for council as well. Welcome and thank you for being here.
Thank you. Always a pleasure to be. Always a pleasure to be in front of County Council. So what we want to just go over high level with you today is the Route 113 corridor program that we relaunched. I think a lot of you know we launched this several years back, and we had to kind of go back to the drawing board with a few of the projects. We've done that, but more importantly, from my standpoint, standing in front of you, keeping my promise that we will continue to invest in Sussex County. And that's exactly what we're doing with these projects, and not just addressing the north-south traffic that you know we are concerned with and that we're working on Route 1, but also to improve the intersections on the east-west as well. And a lot of these intersection improvements and grade separated interchanges actually do just that. So I have a very talented engineer in front of me, Mark Whiteside, who's going to go through these projects. And if you'll notice on the board and on your handout, they're actually in prioritization order. So the top three are already in our CTP, but we're committing to the entire $500 million. So although some of those projects are not yet in the CTP, they will be in the years, because as you know, we have a six-year rolling CTP, and as they come to fruition, we are going to be adding them. So again, I'm here, the full commitment of the $500 million for the entire corridor improvement. So with that, I will turn it over to Mark.
Hi, my name is Mark Whiteside. I'm a project manager for DLDOT. We all know how much traffic's backed up on US 113 today, and it's only going to get worse. So DLDOT has sat back and provided a study basically saying how can we accommodate local as well as through traffic through the 113 corridor and reduce congestion. So it was concluded that basically we're going to have to preserve this 113 corridor and have on alignment improvements, almost like you would have a Route 1 from Newcastle down to Dover. With these on-alignment improvements, we basically have 17 locations from the Ellendale area all the way down to the Delaware-Maryland line. Of those 17 locations, 14 of them are grade-separated intersections, GSIs. These GSIs will consist of bridges, overpasses, and ramps. So with these, through the environmental process that we conducted and through multiple workshops with, and public input, as well as getting together with working groups, we were able to conduct preferred alternatives for these 14 grade separated intersections. With these alternatives, everything from we have four GSIs in Ellendale, eight in Georgetown, and one in Millsboro. Now, this is a huge undertaking. Basically, it's going to be 20 years of work till the last thing is constructed. It's about $544 million total. That will consist of the design funds, the construction engineer, or the construction, and the right-of-way. So with that in mind, that $544 million is going to be dispersed through those 20 years. So basically, after the environmental documents are complete, and which they are, we have the complete documents for the Allendale section, the Georgetown section, and the Middlesbrough section. We're ready to get the ball rolling. Basically, we have federal approval, which means we have federal funds, which would be the majority of where the money's coming from. And we're basically able to start engineering design. So with that in mind, we have four projects within our capital program right now. We started design on two of them, the 113-60 in Allendale, GSI, and the 113-404 in Georgetown. The 113 and US 9, which you see in Georgetown, that will start design in a couple of years. And then the SR-24 connector, also known as the North Middlesbrough Bypass, will start design early next year. We just got that document for the environmental done recently. So with this in mind, we basically, the question is, how are we going to construct this? When are we going to start? When are we going to finish? Construction is basically on the primary or the priority list. The greens are the first priority. Through our engineering judgment and through public's input as well as legislative input, we think that the North Middlesbrough bypass will go first, and that will be constructed in 2023 with probably a 2-year construction duration. And then we would go down the list of the first priorities. So US 113-16, US 113-404. It could flip-flop, but they would be in construction around that time too. And then you would go down to the second priority, which is in the orange, and then the third priority, which is in blue. And like I said, this is going to take from design to construction about 20 years. So we're hoping to finish this whole project at these 17 locations by the time of 2037. So with all this in mind, it's a short-term cost for a long-term benefit. Something needs to be done down in Sussex County, basically from Milford to the Delaware Maryland line. And this is the first step to accompany that. That's basically the game plan for what's going to happen. And do you guys have any questions?
Questions of council? Questions of council.
My dad, if I'll be here to hold you to it.
We're going to try.
Yeah, Sam, I might miss that deadline. I'm not sure. But
okay, Sam, I'll still be here.
I'll be here. That's exactly
this
right.
This guy's going to start and end his career all on the same corridor.
There you go.
20 years long. So.
There you go. You'll be good to go.
I have a quick question, Mr. President.
Okay.
Councilman Orlett.
Yep. If it is okay.
Certainly it is.
Okay. Thank you for being here. Both of you, actually. So
I'm here to protect him
from you.
No. We all know this is a biggest concern probably in this county. One of them, anyways, is obviously our infrastructure needs and you know, commitment to those efforts. And of course, we sometimes get accused of reacting to things, as you know. So the question that I would ultimately have, because this was asked of me the other day, and I didn't have the answer. So therefore, these projects are obviously very much needed. But what does this do to the capacity of the roads? We hear that all the time. Traffic, we continue to have growth here in this county. We continue to, of course, approve developments. People have a desire to be here. What is this doing? Can you address that as it relates to the capacity of the roads?
When you think of capacity, you got to think of getting from point A to point B as quick as possible. And through the environmental documents that we have approved, we have done traffic analysis. And with that traffic analysis, we were able to pinpoint these 17 locations as to what needs to be done on alignment improvements to increase that capacity, to get people from point A to point B quicker. Now, with that in mind, we're not only trying to accommodate through traffic, we're also trying to accommodate the local traffic, the east-west routes.
And that was a direct response to what we heard from this council.
Yes.
So this will address capacity.
Yes.
I guess is ultimately what the question was.
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
I do. Mr. Cole.
Yeah, 404, my understanding is Maryland's done up to the line, pretty much. What is our next step
to?
So we've actually been working with Maryland, and we've been looking at the disbursement of the traffic as it comes in. We already have Bluetooth readers, some of them are in Maryland, some of them are in Delaware, to see how the traffic is being distributed once it comes into the state. And then we're looking at improvements. Our intent is not to dualize 404 to the beaches. That is not what our intent is. We had that conversation a decade ago, and it didn't go very well. So, but we're looking at dispersing.
We won't ever go back and revisit it.
I'm not saying, I never say never, not in the transportation world.
Yeah, because
but that's where we want to make sure that we know how the traffic is being dispersed, you know, now, so that we make the right decisions on the right roadways coming in, because we don't want them all on one.
I see Aerial safety plans up here for $12 million and so much for right-of-way. How about Park Avenue? Are we going to go that way? Go around Park Avenue so we get on that, go around the airport?
Well, we are working on Park Avenue. That's a different project manager. His name's John Cariano.
You just threw him right out of the bus.
Well, because he'll be able to answer those questions a lot better than I could. But we are working on it in our shop.
Actually, we spent about so many millions of dollars on the runway, I hear, and we can't get, and we don't have a road to go around it.
No, we're moving forward with our project. I mean, we've talked with.
I'll tell him, the secretary told me we're going around it. We're getting
there. You go. But it's a different project. This
different,
is all
it is a different project.
It's a different project. It's, yeah.
But we're moving forward with that one as well.
I just see it's road on here. Arrow Safety Road.
Right.
So Arrow Safety Road actually does go up there.
Mm-hmm. It's tied in.
Where it stops.
Yep. Any more questions of council?
So, Mr. President, if I may just have 1 second.
You certainly may.
I do want to, I know you say you're talking about the sports complex, I think actually next.
Yeah.
But I really want to give a shout out. We are very excited and very optimistic about the Tiger Grant that we applied for. We applied for one for the intersection improvements that are needed in that Sand Hill intersection area. We applied for one Tiger Grant for each county, and we strongly believe that this is probably going to be the one that has the best chance of being awarded. So I just wanted to put that out there so you guys were aware
that's
of that.
Great.
Yeah, thank
that's
you for
great.
That.
Thank you.
Is there a date on that they would?
Well, so we've been talking with the White House, which has been interesting, but we're looking at probably early spring is the time frame that they've been giving us.
When they'll let you know.
When they'll let us know.
Okay.
Yep.
What questions, Council? Thank you for coming. Thank
Absolutely.
You for bringing your staff down.
Yes, sir.
We're looking forward to this. We hear traffic all the time, as you do.
Yep.
But this certainly is a energetic undertaking. I wish it was 10 years, not 20, but I understand the money is the money. But I think we have a good feeling in our relationship with you as the secretary, that when you tell us something, you're trying to do that.
Yep. We're keeping our promise. That's what we're doing right here.
We look forward to working with you. I think we're trying to do that in a different mode than we have in the past, maybe. But we're looking forward to it. But thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Secretary.
Thank you.
Okay, public comments, Mr. Guy. I got you a piece of paper, don't I? Thank you, sir. Dan Kramer.
My name is Dan Kramer. Tomorrow you're going to be looking at the new comp plan. The question I have, how do you know where you're headed for if you don't know where you come from? And what you truly need, and it was never done, it should have been underlined, bracketed, just like any other ordinance. That way you know what's been removed and what hasn't been removed. But they didn't do that. So therefore, unless you got them side by side, there is no way in this world you will ever know what's still left in the old one versus the new one. You all have a good day.
Thanks, sir. B.R. Breen. B.R. Breen. Come on down. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Betty Rob Breen, 36147 Overfalls Drive, Lewis. I'm a member of the Sussex County League of Women Voters, and I'm speaking on behalf of the League as coordinator of the League's Observer Corps. Our Corps regularly attends County Council and Planning and Zoning meetings to monitor that open meeting procedures are properly followed. We've observed over the past several months when members of the public come before Council during public comment periods, speakers do not always properly identify themselves before they comment to Council. County Council's rules of procedure state that after being recognized and called to the podium, each speaker shall first identify themselves and give their residence address within the county. We hope council can request that speakers speak up and give this identification information in a manner that is audible to the audience in chambers and clear for the public record. Thank you for this opportunity to comment.
Thank you. DJ Hughes.
DJ Hughes, 16566 Sweetwater Drive, Milton, Delaware. I'm sure I probably sound like a broken record to some of you guys by now, but just two issues I want to touch on briefly. Funding in Sussex County for road improvements for capacity and that sort of thing. I know there was just a presentation on 113, but over in eastern Sussex, we're not getting the funding we need for the improvements that we need. And up in Wilmington right now, this year there's one bridge that they're spending $25 million on for a new road and a bridge to support economic development and transportation in the area. I think next year, for road improvements and capacity safety level, Delta plans to spend $30 million in all of Sussex County. So just another example of how the money's going upstate and how they do accommodate economic development, committed development, existing development up there. And then down here, it seems that they blame you all for approving development. The second issue is the reliability of DLDOT's data. Whether it's the Henlopen TID, the figures that are in the comp plan that you're going to review tomorrow, or the Sussex County Transportation Operations Management Plan, they don't identify existing needs. According to this thing, everything's great on Route 24, on Route 9, on Kings Highway, Savannah Road, Plantation Road, Warrington Road. They identify no issues, no problem. So if people making funding decisions don't think there's problems, obviously they're not going to fund them. So I think we really, the most important thing coming out of your comp plan tomorrow is that committee that's being proposed, and that committee's going to have a tall task to convince DLDOT to start funding the identifying the improvements we do need, prioritizing them, and then convincing DLDOT to fund them. And that's probably going to take your help and the help of our local legislators. So hopefully everybody's up for the task, and thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Lawson.
Okay, thank you, Mr. President. First item of business is the Sussex Sports Center Foundation proposal discussion and MOU, Memorandum of Understanding consideration. There is a slideshow that we're going to use to help frame today's conversation. You also have a copy of the slideshow at your desk, Council. It looks like this. And as soon as we get the PowerPoint up and running, we can get started. Thank you, Jackie. So we're going to talk about the MOU today and the proposal in front of us, and I will walk you through a couple of slides. Feel free to interrupt and ask any questions. Hopefully myself or Ms. Jennings can respond, and at the end of the presentation we will discuss where to go next. Next slide, please. So I'll remind Council how we've gotten to this point. This whole proposal started in informal conversations last year, conversations that I've had with members of the foundation, members of the public. I believe some members of council also were approached by members of the foundation, even before there was a foundation, to talk about this proposal. As it gained more speed and perhaps more support, there was a presentation made here in this chambers. The first presentation was September 26, 2017. At that point, you were given the opportunity to hear for yourself the first time what the vision was of this proposal. At that point, we asked for public comment, and we spent the next month to 2 months receiving public comment and testimony here via your Tuesday meetings, and also comments submitted through the website and emails. We had a follow-up presentation here on November 14th. Recall, that's when we handed out this material via the binder that I have a copy here in my hands. You were provided that material, which contained all the comments and testimony that we received from the public. At that point, I believe it was the president of council instructed staff to come back in a fairly timely manner so that the council can make a decision on this matter and let the foundation know where this council stands on the proposal. From that point till today, I've been working with the foundation to frame up the proposal, to which I'll go over more details in a minute. What I'm proposing today, as you see in number five, is discussing the proposal and asking you for a preliminary decision on the proposal. I think that decision should come in the form of a motion so that council takes a position on the proposal if they choose. If you don't choose that, it's certainly your discretion. But what I'm also proposing after that step would be for me to work with the foundation to finalize a memorandum of understanding. That would be step one. The MOU is step one. We would move to step two, assuming that there was approval. That would require legal staff to draft a contract with the foundation, working with the members of the foundation and their legal staff. They do have legal representation. That contract in draft form will be presented to council, and then council will be asked to vote on the contract. So really there's two steps in front of you if you vote in the affirmative. The first is today would be to instruct staff to keep moving forward. The second step, which would happen next year, would be to formally agree to the contract in the form that we bring it to you. That will take several weeks, if not months, to get the contract in a form for you to consider. So with that, that's sort of the roadmap today. I'll jump into the proposal and a description of the proposal next for you to understand what you're being asked to consider. Next slide, Jackie. I think most of you understand what we're talking about here. The proposal is to build a sports complex on property that will be donated to this foundation. The Sports Center Foundation is a properly formed 501c3 foundation certified here in the state of Delaware. The land that is currently owned will be donated to that foundation. Deed will be recorded in the foundation's name. The foundation is proposing to construct this sports center, which would include 8 grass fields, 3.1 miles of walking and running trails on the property, 8 pickleball courts, ancillary facilities, including bathrooms, all of this on the property that will be donated. The property is located within the town limits of Georgetown. The foundation reported last meeting, preliminary approval from the town Planning and Zoning Commission has been received. As we just heard from the Secretary of DLDOT, part of the project would include road improvements that would be required, both directly and indirectly. Directly would be road improvements in front of the property. Indirectly would be road improvements that DLDOT is committed to make, including the Sand Hill intersection, which coincidentally the county would benefit from that because that's the main entrance to the county airport. That's the reference to the secretary in regards to the Tiger Grant. County has the option to take over this property and the facility after year 5. So the foundation is asking for 5 years to get it off the ground and get it running. And after that point, and each year thereafter, the county would have the option to take over the facility. That would mean ownership of the property, the improvements on the property, as well as the operations, if in fact that is what the county would choose to do. Next slide, Jackie. So, what is being asked of the county? The county is specifically being asked to support this proposal with funding. This is being termed a public-private partnership. That's the terminology the foundation has used. I would agree this is a public-private partnership. The funding that was presented to us is a breakdown of approximately 60% private funding that the foundation would raise on their own, and 40% public funding, that's state, county, and local funding, with the majority of that funding coming from this county council. In total, they estimate a $4 million construction cost to build the facility, as I described in the previous slide. The breakdown for that is $2.5 million of private funds that the foundation will have to raise, and then a $1.5 million county loan. I want to pause there for a moment and talk about the loan. And I would ask Ms. Jennings to help if I get sidetracked here. Ms. Jennings helped with the terms that we have outlined here, And how did we get from a grant to a loan? Initially, they did ask for $1.5 million in a grant. That's been the conversation up to this point until the November meeting, at which point Councilman Cole, I believe, is the one that raised the idea of a loan. And at that time, we took the idea and we sort of vetted it and came up with this terms that we'll show you here on this slide, and ran it by the foundation. And the foundation, I would say they would prefer a grant, but certainly they would be willing to accept a loan, especially loans at with terms that we're describing here. The benefit of a loan, of course, it provides more security for the county in the distribution of the funds. We've also been able to stipulate the way the loan will be administered, which I'll describe in a moment. And I think in talking to members of council, this does give a level of security that they did not believe they had with a straightforward grant. This is a significant amount of money that the county is being asked to fund for this proposal. So I've heard from many of you regarding the secure position that they would like the county to be in should we decide to move forward with this proposal. So how it would work: the foundation has to raise the first portion of the funds before they would have access to the county funds. So the foundation raises $1.5 million. It raises and spends that amount of money on the property. That $1.5 million does not include the value of the property. That's separate. So this is capital funds for the improvements, the site work, the irrigation, the grass, the materials that go into constructing this, the parking lot, the driveway, the entranceway, things of that nature. After 1.5 is raised and spent, then the county funds would be made available in the form of a loan. The county would process those payments after we received invoices from the foundation. So, for example, they spent $100,000 on site improvements. After they've spent $1.5 million, they send an invoice in to Ms. Jennings. Ms. Jennings reimburses for that funds at an increment of $100,000. The only reason we put that $100,000 increment in, we don't want to get every $25 receipt. Give us enough where it makes it the finance department's worth their time and effort to refund the money. And then we would process that up until the $1.5 million limit. So the $1.5 million loan, the terms of the loan, 40 years at 0% interest. If you take that out, that equals $37,500 per year in payments. As I mentioned before, no payments for the first 5 years. We would ask that the loan payments be deferred on years where the foundation experiences a loss or does not have a contingency fund level at $400,000. Said another way, if there are no losses and the contingency fund is fully funded at the $400,000 level, then they would be required to make a loan payment. If they don't meet those two requirements, the term of the loan is extended another year, so that would be 40 plus one for the year that they missed due to the fact that one or both of these terms are not met.
Is that forever, Todd?
That is, Ms. Jennings, that is forever.
Right, until that 1.5 is paid off.
I mean, I guess my point is if they're not turning a quote unquote a profit and able to pay for this, there's no quote unquote penalty. It's just extended.
That is correct.
And is that as indefinite?
That is correct.
You want somebody like that?
For 100 years, in theory.
In theory, yes.
Okay.
So with the loan, the county would place a lien on the property. That would be a level of security that would perhaps not be in place should we offer a grant. One of the reasons why a loan is more attractive, I believe, to some of the members of council. That loan is forgiven if the county decides to take over the center. We initially said, you know, buy the center for $1. That's why it's listed there. But in any sense, each year you have the option to take over. If you choose to take over, the loan is forgiven. And at that point, the county owns and operates the property. As a result of the loan, the annual financial audits would be required. They would be required to be submitted to Ms. Jennings and her department for review. I will stop there. I'm certain there are questions about the financial terms as described.
Question, Mr.
Get a mouthful. Mr. Cole.
The part about the county funds are made available at $100,000 increments, is it conceivable that they might not need the $1.5 million to complete their project?
I guess it is conceivable.
They could come in if costs were down and they got, anyway, some good bids, and they could come in under that, and then basically we would restructure the loan, maybe make it less, so that if there was an incentive for them, I guess they could be, you know, not use at all and have less of an obligation, correct, I guess?
I'll put it to you this way. The way that we are framing the proposal today, the intent is they would access all the funds.
Okay.
If in fact something happens that they don't need to access all the funds, that's on them. They are not going to get a blank check for 1.5. They are going to be reimbursed as they start to spend their money down after they've spent 1.5 of their own. I would say, in speaking to members of the foundation, you know, the intent is to access county funds, and you've heard some of the foundation members speak about the fact that this is an ask of the county to be involved in this project because they want our support, obviously our funding, and also to see a facility like this built in within the county for all the benefits that have been discussed. So I guess I say all of that. I don't know that the intent is ever not to access the 1.5.
Okay. Right. I was just curious. And then well, let me just figure that. And then is there anything in here that would, let's just say it 10 years down the road, 15 years, whatever, mismanagement, it's going crazy, the county decided not to take it over, it's out there. And is there anything to trigger, like, let's, for instance, say we're not making a profit and we start, as he alluded to, that, you know, this thing keeps getting extended, and it looks like we're going nowhere with this thing. Is there anything to trigger, like, that we could call the loan for various reasons, or could we stipulate in this final agreement any kind of thing that would trigger something that the county could do to say, look, we got problems here and we want to...
In other words, how are we going to get our money back?
Mrs. Jennings, you have an answer, I think.
So it's definitely helpful that the agreement says that two members, or we would have two people on the board to help, hopefully, that there would be no mismanagement. But there's nothing, it's a nonprofit separated from anything else, so there's nothing really there other than this entity to go after.
Right.
So my recommendation is we're putting a lien on the property, is that we would then take over the property and find another organization to take over for recreation is what it would be used for at that point.
As a follow-up to that point, and under what conditions or terms would you see whereas we needed to exercise the lien and take back the property?
I'm hoping not to see any. I mean, if you, no, I mean, do you want me to?
No.
What do you want me? What are you saying? That it completely, there's no.
I'm asking on behalf of the Sussex County residents who would be on the hook for $1.5 million, and based on what was just presented, whereas somebody could make no payments for 100 years, under what conditions or terms would we take it back?
Mr. Arlett, if I may,
please.
One of the things this request today is just to be able to whether or not you want the council and administration to continue on looking at this. The next step would be drafting a contract, and the points you're bringing up are very good, that we would need those to be in a contract, specifically what the terms of the note and mortgage would be, which would include triggers on payments, mismanagement, all those type things, and then that would come back before council for approval.
Okay. At this point, we're just trying to get a framework to move forward.
Yeah, I okay. think I've been obviously debating this and discussing this with staff and also with members of council. How do we get to the point where the council wants to make a decision? They want to signal to the foundation and to the public where we are on this. You don't want me to continue to spend time and effort. We're going to eventually spend legal funds to get this done. So that's why we wanted to get to a conversation today. I'd also say, Mr. Arlett, on to your concerns about, in theory, they could continue to add a year and this loan, quote unquote, would go indefinitely, that would be spelled out in the contract. And, you know, to your fear, we would not want that to happen, obviously, and we would put that in a framework within the contract so it doesn't.
Yeah. And if I may, just as a follow-up to Mr. Cole's point about the, if they didn't need all of the $1.5 million, I will refer to the booklet, I think, Todd, that you gave us last time, tab 2, the updated budget. It does mention, I guess per the sheet here, Exhibit 1, that $550,000 would be in the contingency / operating reserve, to your point. So I think,
and that number's been lowered now to 400,000, correct?
Two numbers. So the budget number is right, as Mr. Arlette says, it is at 550,000 as Exhibit 1 references. The $400,000 is a number that Ms. Jennings is comfortable with and inserted as it relates to the terms of the loan. So she, I'll let you speak for your
choice. So are they going to have 550 or 400?
They're going to have 550.
I'd say 40 million right up on board.
40 million?
4.1.
So their budget to us says they need 550,000, which I agree, it's a new project. You probably need some money. You don't know where your cost overruns are going to be. But as far as the terms, I don't think a $550,000 contingency is fair to us when they need to start paying it back. So I had lowered it to $400,000, and because to keep 550 might be a little more generous than what our loan term should have been.
And I would assume, Mr. Lawson, that this $400,000 contingency, I mean, they will need that forever and ever and ever. I mean, once they build a thing, it's up and running, why would you need a $400,000 contingency? Because if they got 3.9, they haven't got to pay the loan that year.
That's correct.
It seemed like that's a lot of money to me for a contingency once you've got the project done. You know, it's like building a house. You put a contingency aside, once you get the house built, that's not done for a purpose, I don't think. Now they shouldn't have a contingency,
right?
But I just question
what the number is
that much,
right,
that they haven't got to pay that loan back if they don't have, if they got 3.99, you know.
Yeah, good point.
Is it just still proposed?
And I do think any business would tell you having a contingency is smart business.
I understand that.
And what the number is certainly, we were all looking at the 550 number and thinking that is a very high number. I will tell you the foundation also thinks they have really good estimates on construction costs, but they're not sure. Obviously, they want to come in within budget, and they also would like to come in under budget. At the same time, they certainly do not want to have to find more funding.
Is the concern that the 1.5 would not go to construction but go to contingency? Is that
I would say yes. If we're the latter part of the equation, right? Not the first part, but the latter part. I would say yes to that. I mean, I almost would be of the thinking again, if this even happens, you know, do a 1 million, and if they need more, then come back to us, versus just writing a check for 1.5 or securing it, like we would do it in any other project, so to speak. And come back and show us what you've spent and tell us why you think you need more, and then we make a decision from there. But, you know, kind of like we do anything else other than just, you know, give a check for $1.5 million, and it's in their paperwork, whereas $550,000 is going to be in the savings account just in case. I'd rather have it in our coffers versus their coffers.
Well, as it's
in theory.
Yeah. As it's being drafted, it's almost like a construction mortgage, construction note, where they come and get draws as needed, so
right.
It would not be the drafting right up front. And again, in drafting the contract, that can be stated that it is only to be used for actual construction, not for the contingency.
One of the safeguards that we built into this discussion, we'll call it the proposal, is just what Mr. Moore is referencing and Ms. Jennings has referenced, is that invoice has to be for capital construction and what it is being spent for to build this facility. So that's how we're trying to frame this so that we can make sure that the money's not sitting in savings.
Yeah, and I don't think you can tell somebody that you're thinking about 1.5, but you're only going to give them a million now. I mean, I just think the contract has to be written.
Oh, I would agree.
You know, so that then you can look at it, and then you can say, you know, do you want to do it? But I would say it's not, you can't have a plan with a with a maybe number. I think you're going to say, go draw us up a contract. Let's see how it looks.
Yeah, no, I agree.
My problem, where's the private enterprise going to? We had Sports at Beach coming here about several years ago, wanted to start here, wants to give them money and to buy the land. But now we didn't buy land, so look at it. So Sports at Beach are going on their own way. So why are we involved in this? Why are we spending millions of dollars for nothing? Nothing. We're buying land. Of course, it's nice to have land get to you. All you got to do is pay back. Nothing, you might say. I'd like to, first of all, loan me the money so I could start a Sports at Beach. Sort of my fact, I know most of you have been around a while. We know the money was voted down at Sports at Beach, and Mr. Towns did not get the money. And here we turn, and look what they've done. Look how far they've gone. They've done very well with the council step involved, spend taxpayers' money. We seem like we just got plenty of it, just spend it. So maybe we ought to give a reduction on a couple $1 million to give back to taxpayers. That's what we're going to do. If we just don't know how to get rid of it, maybe we ought to look that over. I think we ought to look into this a little deeper what we're doing. We're sitting here asleep, seems to me.
Question to council?
Maybe a comment, and then I guess then we would move forward with, I guess,
I got a couple more slides. I have a couple more.
Yeah, I'll keep going, Todd. Sorry.
Okay. I'm leaving the finance, but we can always come back. Jackie, next slide. So last slide on just the terms. I think we've covered most of this. The foundation board would be responsible for the operation of the facility as it initially is constructed and run. The county would have two positions on the board. I would propose that one of the positions would be a member of council, and the other position would be a county administrator or county finance director. After year five, the county has the option to take over the facility for $1, and the loan is forgiven. Each subsequent year, the county can exercise that same option. We just put it on an annual term, again, spelled out in the contract. And again, what I referenced earlier, the formal contract will have to be drafted. This is no more than just a proposal where we're at an MOU level right now, where as we've talked about this, we think we can enter into an MOU. Very little commitment on the county's part at this point, but it does mean that we're moving forward if an MOU is approved. But the real terms of this arrangement will be spelled out in the contract that will be drafted and presented to you at a future date for another vote. So that would be the terms. One more, Jackie. So last slide before the motion, if you want me to introduce a motion, but today the vote, if you choose to take, would be to authorize the administrator to finalize an MOU based on the terms as described today. That MOU would be signed by the council president and the foundation. That would signal that the county is on board with this proposal to date. We would also be in favor of this commitment, and at a future date, a draft contract would be proposed and put in front of council for a second vote.
Mr. Lawson.
President of council. Mr. Wilson.
Mr. Lawson.
Yes, sir.
If we're going to give Georgetown $1 million or a couple $1 million, why not just give the other 21 towns $21 million? They have a right to come get their money. Just seems this town's going to give them money, so we better be very careful how we're just buying land in one area.
Yeah, this proposal certainly will benefit the greater town of Georgetown and the greater areas around it. I don't have an answer for whether we pick Georgetown or another municipality, other than the fact that this proposal was brought to the county for your consideration by the person that owns the land and is choosing to put forth this proposal to create this facility in this location.
Mr. Lawson, I have from many phone calls, do not do this because it's built in a mud hole and it's wet land. They don't have no way of draining. If they're going to dig a pond there, they can't get water out of there. So that might be the problem. We need to go to soil conservation first and find out if we can why spend all this money on legislation. Why spend all this money, we should also go to soil conservation on highway and find if they're going to put that light in or not. the secretary just told us today they're really busy spending all the money on 113, so I don't know how they're going to keep on spending more money down here on Route 9. In fact, the rules I argued I hear say can't hardly get through Georgetown now. What are we going to do, put more traffic through Georgetown? Is that, is that our direction? That's the questions they're asking me that I present to you.
I certainly think this will have a traffic impact on Sand Hill Road and Route 9. The improvements at the Sand Hill intersection are on DLDOT CTP list that is eligible for the Tiger Grant, which we will hear about later next year. The improvements done right at the facility, including a turning lane, I believe, is to be done by the foundation or the developer of the property.
More questions to council? Mr. Arlett.
I would say more of a comment than a question, Mr. President, if I may.
Either one.
Well, so, I mean, in the end, we've, as you've alluded, it's been months of conversations. I think both here publicly as well as individually and amongst many of us, amongst the community, to include Sam, and I mean all of us have had conversations with the community. And I think the bigger question, I think that we keep asking, or maybe this is forcing the ask, and that is, does this county council want to get involved in the parks and recreation business? That's the bottom line, I think, in the end. I think that is the ultimate question. And some, I think, obviously, we've had testimony to some say yes, and some have concerns to say, no, we should not be doing that. So to me, I would be willing to move forward with the MOU to get to the details, but with grave concern, and I will say, I'll pose the question, and that is, we often get criticized, we collectively as a council, for reacting, you know, no planning, right? No planning, we just react over the years. I've heard that comment. And we have an opportunity, if we choose to get involved in the Parks and Recreation, is to plan. So if this is what we're doing here, then maybe we ought to take a step back and put together a working group with a time limit, 4 months, 6 months, of all the stakeholders, like we did with that one ordinance, with all the drainage ordinance that we did. I think that was a proven success. All the stakeholders were a part of it. So we can really, truly hear from all the stakeholders and really get the real feel of this community and of this county, of all the jurisdictions, not just Georgetown and, you know, the ones related to this. So I would offer the suggestion of doing that, though I would be willing to support the MOU just to get to the details. But I'm just wondering, are we making another mistake of reacting to an ask versus responding and thinking and planning for the long term here? And that's just a thought and a question that I want to propose here now, is should we, are we reacting to something, or should we really be taking a step back and responding to the community needs and really look at this long-term and plan?
I would, I have a comment on that, because I think the question is parks and rec, right? But the other question is private-public partnership.
Right.
And, that's what I'm saying. And you know, we got to look at that, and we got to say, you know, is this a good way to do this?
Right.
So that's the question, because we had never done that, right?
Correct.
The county has never been in a private-public partnership, whether it's a ball field or something else. I think that the private-public partnership has merit on economic development. It has merit on this county. And it's not something that is all the expenses fully borne on the county, and so I think you're right, is that the devil's in the details, and the details in the MOU, and that we should look at it as a private public partnership funding as much as it is a parks and rec deal.
Sure.
So why are we in competition? That's where you just said, why are we competing with private people?
I'm partnering with the private people.
Well, you call it partner if you want to.
I am. Private-public partnership.
Well, partnership means regardless of who, how much money they're going to put in, it's supposed to be equal. Is that the way partnership is?
Not in this example. Looks like we might put it's 60-40.
60-40. So it looks like we're going to be competition to the private enterprise. Is that correct? We're going to help put a lot of money in this. Stop the competition from the private sector.
I don't know if that's true or not. We need to look at that.
Well, it looks like it looks like now Sport Town Beach here has a little bit, and far away is soccer field right here right here beyond going out the airport. If you want to put money out there, you can send some money out there, help them build a nicer soccer field. That way it's already started. In fact, there's other soccer fields in Sussex County. Seems like a lot of money to start a soccer field right here.
I would think these are conversations for a working group, right?
I think so too.
But
well, somewhere we need to make it known, let the public know we're spending millions of dollars when we got Mr. Hudson down here that's willing to furnish a private field. So why are we, and he's got a soccer field down there. So why are we down there? Why are we competing with those kind of people? Why are we competing with soccer fields that's outside of the airport here? It's on tax money, so what? You guys got plenty of it when it comes tax time, right? We'll take it.
Anything else, Mr. Wilson?
I said enough. Thank you.
Good. Anything else from council? Questions, comments, anything? Okay. As long as I guess you've got some kind of a motion.
I have a motion. If you'd like me to flip the slide, I will.
What happens?
I will show you the motion.
Sure.
Jackie, next slide, please. Okay, motion for your consideration. Be it moved that the Sussex County Council authorizes the County Administrator to draft a memorandum of understanding with the Sussex Sports Center Foundation for the purposes of the design and construction of a sports facility as described in today's presentation, including the county's commitment of $1.5 million in the form of a loan with the terms as described in today's presentation to the Sussex Sports Center Foundation for the same purposes.
I'll make that motion.
Motion, Mr. Cole.
I'll second that motion.
Second, Mr. Burton. Now that we got questions on the motion.
Yes, the terms, as I just stated, as the terms described in today's presentation, I think there was some concern of the terms, I think as outlined. So how do we adjust what was just stated based on the feedback we had here earlier on some of the concerns of the terms?
Well, so part of the MOU and is going to be to draft the contract.
Right.
So I think the terms as described and certainly some of the questions and concerns raised are part of the terms that were described in today's presentation. I will say on record that nothing that was presented in just this PowerPoint is what is going to be codified in a contract.
Okay.
It's just to give you an understanding that we're talking about a loan, we're talking about 1.5, we're talking about two members on a board. All of that to be worked out at a future date with a contract with terms you will see well in advance and have a legal presentation provided to you to make a good decision. Today's decision is, do you want us to continue down that path? At least that's my vision of what you're going to vote on. And if it isn't the affirmative, those terms will be adjusted based on today's conversation.
Any more questions of council? We'll take the vote, Mr. Arlett.
I'm going to say yes to only for the purposes of wanting to know more of the details, but I will share yet again that I think the best interest of the long term of what we do in this county is to respond to the needs versus reacting, and we consider a working group private partnership possibilities in the future. So, but I will say yes to get to the details.
Mr. Burton.
I will vote in favor of the motion. I think the devil's in the details, and we'll see the details in the MOU.
Mr. Wilson.
No doubt my vote is no, and I read up here where it says committed $1.5 million to the county. It's committed $1.5 million. So I vote no. It's not exactly what was put before me. I didn't get it exactly. Our commitment was not $1.5 million. How do we come up with that kind of number? How do we get $1.5 million? How do we get past that and put that up here, put $1.5 million up?
That was in the proposal originally, was the foundation puts up to $2.5 million, we put up $1.5 million.
Nice, I can vote, just give them, commit $1.5 million to them, right?
Well, what this motion is really doing is committing us to having a contract drawn. We can change that contract when it comes before us, we can change anyone to.
I can change contract while the public's listening to what we're saying.
Well, I assume they'll be here when the contract's presented. I'm sure somebody in the public will be here.
I hope so.
Mr. Wilson, no vote. Mr. Cole?
I'll vote yes.
Yes, also to see the contract. I think it's, Mr. Burton says, it's the devil's in the details. And there were some good questions raised about some of the aspects of the loan and how it would be repaid and those kind of things. So
I think you're right. We better watch out for the devil.
Motion is, my vote's yes. Motion's carried. Thank you, Mr. Lawson. You're still up though, buddy.
All right. Thank you, sir.